You to turn tonight to Luke's Gospel into chapter 6. We shall move between Matthew and Luke this evening. Luke's Gospel and chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus is giving a parable, one of his most famous parables. I'm sure you know it so well. We thought about it even just less than 2 years ago, and we read this verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Back in Matthew's Gospel, it says it even more firmly. One of those verses that stand out and sometimes we think of and a shudder goes down our spine. Is this speaking of me? Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on to say of miraculous things that some will have done, and yet the Lord Jesus says, "You were working deeds of iniquity. You were not one of my children. You were working for the devil." Searching words. When the Lord Jesus had spoken, the testimony of the people that spoke, that he spoke to, was that they were astonished and amazed. Whenever the Lord Jesus spoke, he searched the hearts of his hearers. And I trust that he will do that again tonight. His word searches the heart. His word divides a group of people into two groups. There are those that say, "Lord, Lord," and they don't mean it. Their heart is far from God. They have a form of words. They have an outward profession. They have an appearance. But their heart is far from God. Of course, there are those that say, "Lord, Lord," and they know him as Lord and as Savior. When he spoke, he searched the heart. Of course, he was the Son of God as well as the Son of Man, and he could read the hearts of his hearers. He knew what they were thinking before they thought it. He knew what was in their life and was in their mind, and he knew their track record of sin, just as he did the woman at the well who'd had many husbands. Oh, he knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. He knew their minds. And as he spoke, he used many different methods to try and sift. He wanted to open the heart. He wanted to distinguish, to separate those who are his from those who are not. Where do you stand tonight? Where does your soul stand before God? When he speaks and says these words, do you think to yourself, "Oh, he is my Lord. He is my Savior." Or have you been going through the motions, paying lip service? Is the gospel in another language to you? When I was a child, I had an older brother and an older sister. Sometimes they used to play a trick on me. I hope you never do this to your younger brother and younger sister. They would sometimes pretend to speak in a different language. It was not a real language. It was made up. And it had a made up name. Kalamafungu. And they would say this word to me, and I would quite often think that they were speaking to each other in a different language, and I didn't understand. What are they talking about? I was maybe 4 or 5. They're speaking about me, and I don't understand it. But when God speaks through his word, is it the same for you? Is it a different language, one that you don't really understand? He's challenging your soul and your heart. He's speaking about things that just don't make sense. It's as though it was in a different language. Well, let's look at these words tonight. The prophet Ezekiel spoke about what the Lord Jesus was really grasping after. He said this some 600 years before the Lord Jesus spoke. The children of Israel were about to be taken into exile for the second time into Babylon. This is what he says, Ezekiel 33, verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. Oh yes, we come before God. We listen, we read. And they sit before thee as my people, as though they were my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. You see what the Lord Jesus is speaking about in Luke 6 and Matthew 7 is those that were hearing him, and it was going in one ear and out the other. They were listening. They were saying the right things, it seemed, but their heart was far from God. They were not obeying. They were not obedient to the truth. Look at verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. You people, you're listening. You're coming, you're hearing. But you're going to be like one group of people in the parable that I'm about to tell you about. Well, this parable has many names. Sometimes it's called the two builders. You see, we're all builders in life. Not with a spirit level and a screwdriver, but we're building for something. My title tonight is Building for Eternity. What are you building for? You're making choices in life. You're making investments. You're using your time and your energy, your money, your choice of career. You're making an investment. What are you investing in? Are you investing in time or eternity? Are you investing in yourself? Are you investing in what people will think? Or you are investing for eternity? For where your soul will spend eternity. This is also called not just the two builders, but the two foundations. That's very obvious. In Matthew's gospel, he calls them the wise and the foolish builders, the wise man, the wise woman that builds on a good foundation, and the foolish man or woman or young person that builds on no foundation. The parable is so obvious, it doesn't really need explaining. He's saying, those who obey my words are wise. Those who take them into their heart and they do something about them, they're wise. They're building on a good foundation. But the foolish person just sits there. The foolish person comes and sits and listens, but their heart is interested in time and in building up wealth. And building up reputations and appearances and all the things that people look at. And they're fools. You're a fool tonight. If you're not thinking of your soul and of eternity. Well, let's look and contrast these two pictures. The wise or the foolish builder. The obedient or disobedient hearer. And here, let's turn to Luke 6 and see it in a slightly shorter version of the parable. This is what the Lord Jesus says. These two types of people, you are like a man or a woman, a person, which built a house. You're building a house. That's your life. What are you building? How are you building it? What are you building it upon? Those are the questions. You come, both the people come. You hear, both the people hear. But then there's a big contrast. The rest of the parable divides the people. There are those who are called wise builders, and that's in verse 48. The first thing they do is they look. They look, and they look at the land, and they see that there's some rubbish that needs to be removed. You can't build when there's rubbish around. You've got to get rid of the rubbish. That's speaking of repentance. The first thing that you need to do in your life is to repent. Get rid of the rubbish. Get rid of all the trees that are growing and the things that are in the way, the stones and everything else. That's what you do. You then dig. And you dig deep. And you dig even deeper. Until you find something solid. Something that you can build on. You see, that's speaking of repentance. I've got to dig down. I've got to get rid of the rubbish. Get rid of all the things that I put in my life that won't help me, that will get in the way. I've got to dig down. Dig down deep. That's something for you to do. You see, the gospel does have something for you to do. It can't earn you salvation. Repentance doesn't earn you heaven, but you've got to do something. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Don't just sit there. Don't just wait. Don't be hearers only. You've got to clear the rubbish. You've got to dig down. And you've got to get to the rock. You've got to abandon a shallow view of life. You see, there are some people, and they're foolish. They're interested in what's on the surface and upwards. They don't much mind for what's beneath the ground. If you start to build, it can be many weeks that the foundations have to go in. And you have to dig out the clay and the sand and the gravel until you get to something firm. Until you can build upon the rock. But the superficial person says, oh, I don't care much for that. I just want to go up. I want people to see me succeeding. I want to see my life flourishing. I want people to see that I'm doing well, that I've got a bigger car, that I'm doing and succeeding. It's a sort of get up and go approach. It's a sort of hit and hope approach. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't need to make preparations. I don't need to worry about my sin. And all the things that I've accumulated in my life up until now, all of us have. All of us have rubbish. We have soil that we need to take away. That's what the Lord Jesus says. Get rid of the rubbish. Dig down deep and find the solid rock. Well, that's the wise builder. He takes a bit longer. He wants an explanation for life. The foolish person doesn't much care. Where did I come from? Oh, it doesn't matter. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. The foolish person has a foolish view of life, doesn't really think about what could happen. The wise person thinks, oh, let me think of my family. Let me think of the tragedies. Let me think of the difficulties. They could happen to me. I need to be ready. I need to be prepared. I need to take the warnings of life seriously. What does the foolish person do? Oh, let's just start building. No plan, no architect, no preparation. Let's just put the bricks one on top of another. They'll go up quickly. Then let's get the roof on. and let's build, build, build. What a foolish thing to do. No thought for eternity. Only thinking of time. Only thinking of appearances. Just a race to the top. Just a show and go. Just appearances. What about your life? What counts for you? That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. He's saying, your life is like a house. And you need to build properly. You need to build with foundations. Repentance comes first, and then faith. That's the picture. Well, secondly, I don't really need to look at what the foolish man does. It's obvious. He builds, builds, builds. His house is finished in weeks. The wise man takes months, maybe years. Well, there comes a time of testing. And that will come to all of us. No one escapes testing. No one. Young person, tonight, this parable, this is really for you. This is a parable for young people setting out in life, thinking about what sort of house am I going to build. I had an uncle once, and he built his own house. It took him 10 years to build because he had another business on the side. And he built the house and lived in it. And the month after it was finished, he tried to sell it. And he hadn't built it properly. The plans weren't there. The planning permission was defective. It wasn't really worth it. What he thought it was, he had to get retrospective planning permission. He hadn't thought, he hadn't prepared. He hadn't got a plan. He hadn't got approval. It went horribly wrong. Well, what about the time of testing? The storm. The season. In this parable, evidently they built in the dry season. They built when everything was sunshine and white fluffy clouds. But there was a season in the ancient East when the rains came. And in ancient times in the East, when it rained, it rained. And it rained so much that the waters would cause great damage as the torrents came across the soil. What about life? What are the seasons that we go through? Death. Death of a loved one. Sooner or later, somebody we love will die. Somebody that loves us will die. What will come then? Have you built your house on the rock? What about the loss of a job, or you can't get a job? Will you be ready? Will you be prepared for financial hardship? What about marriage? Relationship breakdown? Somebody at school who you thought was your friend and they leave you and they don't like you and they say things about you that were unfair and unjust and you feel hurt. What about your life then? What about illness? The call from the doctor that you didn't want to get. Come and see me. The scan, the results come back. I need to talk to you about it. Oh, I'm not making these things up. We all know people that have had these things happen to them. Some of us know of a friend who was killed suddenly by a police car. No announcement. No warning. Knocked down in the prime of life. These are not make-believe friends. These are not over there. These don't happen to other people. They will happen to us. What about the time of testing? The time when your life suddenly starts to shake. The foundations. What will become of them? The time of testing. The Lord Jesus is posing a question. Are you prepared? Are you ready for the shocks, the surprises, the unexpected, unannounced things in life? Will your foundation hold? Have you built on solid ground? Well, let's look at the consequences. If you turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, he says it very graphically. The storm comes. The floods rise, the wind blows, Matthew 7, verse 25, and beats upon that house. It sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But it's not. This is a parable of truth. It's gently helping us to see of the storms of life and the things that will shake us to the core. And it beat upon that house, and it fell not. You see, those that have built their life on the Lord Jesus Christ, on His perfect life, and His perfect death, and His evidenced, witnessed resurrection, that's solid ground. That's truth that doesn't change. That's reliable. That's what you can build your life on and know that your sins are forgiven. If you've repented, if you've dug down, and if you've put your faith in His plan for your life. But what about verse 26? The foolish man. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, and the floods, and the winds, and beat. And look at the expression at the end of this verse, it's very graphic. And great was the fall of it. Not far from here, there used to be, children, big pits, and the clay was dug out, and it was taken to be burned in big chimneys, and many millions, maybe tens and billions of bricks were made to rebuild London after the Second World War. We have some in this congregation that used to work in those brick factories. And the towers went so high. The towers are no longer. Nearly all of them, I believe, have been brought down. Just a few explosives going off. Great was the fall of it. Sometimes we see people's lives. They seem to flourish, seem to succeed. Captains of industry, chief executives, sports stars, celebrities. They seem to have everything, 100 million followers. And the life is struck down. And great was the fall of it. Will that be your life? Maybe your life won't be a tall tower. Maybe it will be a medium-sized tower. Maybe you'll do something good. You'll have a job. You'll have a family. But if you don't have a foundation, you don't have what you need when the shaking of life comes. What foundation are you building on? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know there's no other way of dealing with that sin problem than repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If I don't repent, Christ will not save me. If I don't repent and confess my sin and acknowledge my sin, Christ will pass me by. Has He passed you by? Maybe it's because you've not really repented. You've not gone on your knees and told the Lord what you've done and what you've been and what you've said and what you've thought. But if you do that, there is a promise tonight. If you dig deep, dig away all the rubbish, get down to the rock, the solid truth, the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, then you can build your life on Him. And you can know peace. You can know forgiveness of sin. And your life will go up and it will be seen by others. And when others are in need, your life will stand. When the trials of life come and a loved one is sick and the loved one is dying, oh, your anchor will hold. Your foundation will be sure because you have Christ in the storm. Christ is in the vessel. Christ is your foundation. Christ is the one. What other foundations might you have? Will it be what you do and your skill? Those that came to the Lord Jesus and said, we've done this and done that and done the other and done many wonderful works. And the Lord Jesus says those haunting words, depart from me. I never knew you. You never repented. You never confessed your sin. Your profession was just words. It was just deeds, but there was no repentance, no solid ground. Will it be your parents that you look to? Oh, my parents have brought me up well. They've taught me, they've had me on their knee and they've taught me the Word of God and they've shown me so many things. Don't rely on your parents. Every single life must be built upon the foundation. Your parents' faith won't save you. Will it be Hitton Hope? Will it be build, build, build? Oh, my friends tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of Himself. He's speaking of the cornerstone. He's speaking of the firm foundation. He's speaking of the solid rock. That's Christ. And if you build your life on any other, it's just sinking sand. It will give way when the floods come and the wind blows. Great was the fall of it. Don't let your life fall. Don't let your life come crashing down. When there's a tragedy and an illness and something that was so sad and others watch on and you go to pieces. But if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything. You have all that you need for time and for eternity. Which builder are you? Are you building for time? Or are you building for eternity? Are you a wise builder? Or are you a foolish builder? Are you a hearer who obeys? Or do you sit there waiting, waiting, waiting? No repentance, no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or build on Him. Build on that solid, solid ground. He will not let you down. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that all that we need for time and eternity is found in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our solid ground. We would build on Him. Oh, help us tonight to be wise builders in life and build for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name.